for the message. I preached this sheet, a single sheet. Went through it, talked about it at length. Those of you who are here may remember some of the things I talked about as I went through it. And it's something that all of us need to realize in our everyday lives, the purpose for which God saved us. There are a lot of purposes, and Leonard mentioned one of them this morning. And he talked about not just us receiving joy, but us giving joy to God. That's a very important thing. It's something that God gives us a great reward in heaven for. We're saved by grace through faith. We're going to heaven by grace through faith. And what we get when we get there is something that really depends on how much joy we've brought to the Lord during the course of our lives. Even though we human beings are sinful, and a lot of our desires are self-centered, as fathers, even though we're not perfect, it gives us great pleasure to see our children succeed. In other words, when someone brags on our children, it gives us great joy. When we see our children turn out to be hardworking, God-fearing, faithful to the Lord, it gives us great pleasure. If they turn out to be praised in the community, well-liked, everybody says kind things about them, it just makes our heart burst with joy. If we as imperfect human beings have those emotions, even though some of them are self-centered because it makes us look good and we have to be honest with ourselves, think how much pleasure God has when we as His children grow up and He's able to say to the devil, "See my child down there?" He did that for Job. He said, that's my child. And the child went through a lot of testing after that. There are many reasons God saves us, but one of them was brought out in the Sunday school lesson very well, extremely well. That one of the reasons is that we give God pleasure. And we can only give God pleasure if we're His children. I get pleasure out of when some of Cooney's kids get an award or something. I get pleasure out of when one of your children gets an award or something. I'm happy for you. But not as happy as if it were my own child. You say, well, that's wrong. No, that's just normal for human beings. But God gets pleasure out of what His children do. If they're not His children, if He doesn't live in them, if He's not directing them, if they haven't been born from above, He can't get any pleasure out of them. The wonderful thing about being saved is that after you're saved, you can. You're capable of giving pleasure to God. And you're also capable of grieving Him. You will grieve Him. I will grieve Him. But as we grow older, and as we draw closer to the Lord, and we realize that He gives us joy and happiness, really in proportion to how much we give Him. And that's after we're saved. So it's something I hope we'll all consider and think about. I preached that verse, that whole page of Scripture. I quit. And this is what followed it that I didn't get to. I've developed a new system. I work up the messages. I pray about them. Put them all together. Then put them on these overhead transparencies. And I preach until it's time to quit. And I think that that time is somewhere right around noon. God doesn't bother me a bit about that, because the attention span of human beings, and as the old man said, I are one, after a while you're ready to go home. And believe me, I understand that. No matter how good a preacher is, after a while, I'm ready to go home. So I can do you a lot more good if I always let you out on time. Charlie understood that. He really did, Charlie. I didn't. But I do now. So when that big hand gets up there close to 12, you can count on going home, because I'll stop right where I am. Because when you preach God's word, after you go for a while, that's enough time to get the point across. At the instant of the new birth, there is a spiritual bond, an eternal, unbreakable spiritual link established with God by the Spirit of Christ. Your spirit is alongside His Spirit in heaven, and His Spirit is alongside your spirit on earth. And this spiritual bond will never be broken. For this reason, it is possible for a believer, a child of God, to grieve the Holy Spirit of God. How much grief did Adolf Hitler give God? Well, the Lord may correct me at the judgment seat. I don't think He gave Him a lot of grief, because Adolf Hitler never knew Jesus. He never had His spirit living alongside His. And as a result, God could only feel anger, righteous indignation. But I have had the ability, since I was 12 years old, to give Him pleasure, to give Him joy, or to give Him grief. And the question I have to ask every day, I ask the Lord every day, Lord, get me through this day in a way that pleases You. I don't want to give Him grief anymore. I still do. And the Lord may tell you at the judgment seat of Christ, this next statement I make is wrong. I don't think I give Him as much as I used to. I think as time passes, you get to understanding that the things you do that don't give Him grief, give Him joy and pleasure. And you get a relationship with the Lord that's quite joyous, quite happy. That's why I'm always on you to come to church. If we didn't preach the word down here, if we didn't tell you the way it was, if God didn't love you, and this was just a trip that you made down here because it was expected of you, I haven't done my duty as your pastor. I haven't taught you, as God has taught me, that it's to our advantage to come to church and to learn the Word of God. Your spirit is alongside His spirit in heaven, and His spirit is alongside your spirit on earth, and this spiritual bond will never be broken. For this reason, it is possible for a believer to grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Here's the wonderful thing about God, and I've preached this to you many times. Sometimes, I've read this scripture many times when I was a boy. Didn't understand really what it meant. So I realized that as people come to church and as they grow up in church, sometimes the scripture takes on a whole new meaning to them that they may have read 100 times. And I know you've heard me preach this before, and it's an important scripture. Ephesians 4, 30 through 32, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Why can you do it? For until you are sealed unto the day of redemption. The moment you trusted in Jesus Christ for your salvation, no matter how bad you've been after that, no matter how much you think you've departed from the faith, no matter how ashamed you are of your past life, no matter how much correction you think you've needed, and no matter how big a failure you think you've been, there's something that's true. Ye are sealed until the day of redemption. At the day of redemption, you're going to receive a new body. It doesn't matter what you do from here to the time you receive it. It doesn't matter if you give Christ pleasure, give God pleasure, or if you grieve Him. It doesn't matter as far as you're going to heaven. But it does matter a great deal as to what He rewards you with in heaven when you get there. Because your life, from the time you're saved, is something God expects you to grow spiritually. Most people get saved when they're young. And most people waste their whole lives. And finally, some at the last get saved. And then they go on a guilt trip thinking, oh my goodness, I've wasted my whole life. No. You haven't wasted your whole life. You're still breathing. Paul said, I press toward the mark for the prize, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He said, forgetting those things that are behind, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Child of God, it doesn't matter what you did before you came in here today, but it does matter what you do after you leave. And you need to develop a relationship with Christ where every day you want to do things that give Him pleasure and joy. And you fight against those things which are part of your carnal nature that don't give Him joy. And you don't have to worry about hell anymore. You've been set free. You are now free to either love Him and please Him and give Him joy or to give Him grief. You say, that's the most amazing thing I ever heard of. It's not just amazing. It's amazing grace. So here's what God wants from you. This is what God wants from you. This is what He wants from you, Artie. It's what He wants from you, Vince. It's what He wants from you, Leroy. It's what He wants from me. It's what He wants from every one of us. Why? That all bitterness. You like to be around bitter people? I don't. And wrath? You saw my wrath in the Negev, didn't you? You knot-headed baboons. Still haven't got over it. But who wants to be around people like that? And anger? I don't want to be around angry people. And clamor, people always making trouble. Evil speaking, telling dirty jokes. It's okay to tell jokes that bring joy to people, but not dirty jokes. Not a foul mouth. Be put away from you. He said, put it away from you. You can't ever completely overcome your emotions that are generated in the flesh. But you can grow in grace, and you can learn with time and the Spirit of Christ working in you to be better than you are by the power of Christ in you. And it's important that you do that with all malice. Every once in a while, someone comes and tells me, and I like to keep posted on local situations. They're having trouble at Russellville. They're having trouble at Shiloh. They're having trouble at Victory. And I appreciate people telling me that. It's nice to know what's going on in the local scene. Do you know why? It's right there on the screen. That's why. Now, wouldn't it be better if each one of us as members of this church made up our mind that because we wanted to please Christ, we wanted to give Him pleasure, every day we fight this battle. Don't be bitter if things don't go your way. Don't get angry and full of wrath if you don't get your choice. Don't clamor and gripe and complain and moan and groan. Don't speak evil of other people because they didn't agree with you. Just put it away and say, I'm going to do this because I want to give God pleasure. Let me tell you something that's not a secret. When you learn to do this, you get a lot of pleasure out of it. Do you know what happens when you get bitter? Who suffers? The person you're bitter against or you? Wrath. Who suffers? You are the person you exercised your wrath on. Anger. When you get angry at somebody. When you kick up a ruckus because you're mad about something. When you speak evil of other church members. When you have malice toward one another. Who suffers? You and God. You and God. After 32 years here, I don't always get my way. But I've discovered in every case I didn't, I was wrong. And the church was right. And I've discovered in some of those cases where I got my way, the church let me have it, I was wrong. And the church was right. I've discovered that I'm just a simple, insignificant little twerp who God put here. Gave him wisdom, understanding, and discernment. Teaches him, puts up with him, loves him, in spite of what he is. And uses him as his instrument to teach other people what God has taught him. Now, how would you like to be a member of a church like that? Bob? Artie? Sister Barry, Doreen, Shirley, Jimmy, Diane, Leroy, Geraldine. How would you like to be a member of a church like that? How would any of you like to be a member of a church like that? I wouldn't. Because it hurts God. And it hurts the church. Now, here's what we need to do. And I say we because I've got a rat in my pocket, me, myself, and I. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Do I love my wife because she's pretty? Well, she is pretty. Do I love my wife because she's a good cook? Well, she is a good cook. Do I love my wife because she has an IQ of 428? Do I love my wife because she's super intelligent? Here's why I love my wife. She's kind to me. She's tender-hearted. God knows how much she's forgiven me for. Even as God, for Christ's sake, had forgiven you. Candy, would you say your mother was all those things? Would you, Vicki? Would you, Rachel? How about you, Ashley? She's all those things. If you don't like my wife, feel free here, and I won't jump you. If you don't like my wife, hold up your hand. You like her, don't you? I do, too. You know what she's done for me? I'm a loud-mouthed extrovert, opinionated, self-centered, wears feelings on shirt sleeve. I'm everything. I used an amen, Matt. I'm everything a man shouldn't be. But I've learned from her, and believe it or not, I'm a lot kinder. I'm a lot more tender-hearted. I'm a lot more forgiving. Because she forgave me, and God has forgiven me, for Christ's sake. You want to see this church grow? You want to see people come to this church? That's why they came. They came here and they saw people that are easy to get along with. They're kind. Who did they see? They saw Christ in you. They saw Christ in this church. If you never remember anything else I preach in the years I've been here, I hope you'll remember this scripture, and I hope you will study it often. Because this is what gives joy to God. And it is what gives joy to us. And it is what gives joy to the people who come to be among us. It isn't us they love so much, but Christ in us. And we have an obligation to God to try and do what He wants and not to grieve Him. Oh, don't worry. You can't be perfect. I can't be perfect. We're going to grieve Him. When we do, just run to Him and say, "Well, Lord, I did it again." Ask Him to forgive you. He'll pick you up and carry you along. The eternal unbreakable bond between the believer and God is Christ in the believer and the believer in Christ. Would you believe that Christ is in me right now, according to the Bible? Would you believe that I'm in Him in heavenly places where He sits right now in heaven? The Bible says so. Would you believe that the Spirit of Christ indwells every local New Testament church that teaches and preaches His Word? And would you believe He's here this morning? And would you believe the way we act and the things we do as His people, either grieve Him or give Him pleasure? If a church gives Christ pleasure, what a blessing is poured out on that church. Not so much in the material things He gives us, but in the assurances He gives us and the awareness of His presence in us, in the midst of His church, among His people, and we sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. The Bible says so. So He knows everything I do. All of heaven knows what I do as He reveals it to them. And I'm sure, I couldn't say I'm sure, but I know that God kept telling the devil. He said, "Look at my servant Job. Look at my servant Job." He was proud of Job. He was just like a father was pleased with his son. And he just kept telling Job that. He kept telling the devil that. And Job stood the test. And in the end, God rewarded him double of everything that he had before all the troubles came on him. I promise you in heaven, if you'll be faithful to God, I promise you, if you'll go through all the trials and tribulations of this life, and if you let God change what you are into what you know you ought to be in the way you deal with others, your family, and everyone, then you're the one that gets the blessing, but God's the one that gets the pleasure. And you can't do anything better than to please God. And it'll help the church. It'll help you. It'll help all of us. Colossians 1:27. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. The greatest thing that ever happened to me was when I was young and Christ came to live in me. And finally, the second greatest thing that ever happened to me was when I began to have a relationship with him and quit shoving him out of my way and letting my soul live its own life in response to the flesh rather than following his spirit. I punished myself, and many people punish themselves, when Jesus is just a step away, when they make the effort to serve him, give him pleasure, and they find pleasure. Ephesians 2, 4 through 6. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherein he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, you were born spiritually dead. That means you were spiritually dead toward God. You were spiritually dead in sins, plural. Had you died before you reached the age where the Holy Spirit deemed that you could repent of your sins and were capable of it, and you could put your faith in Christ, for some that age is 7, 8, some 9, 10, some 11, 12, for some people that are mentally handicapped, maybe 25, for others it may be 60. Well, some people never reach the middle age of accountability. And God takes them to heaven because they cannot repent and they cannot understand. If I didn't know that to be the truth, I couldn't do baby funerals. Even when we were dead in sin, has quickened us together. I mean, he raised us up with his Son, put his Son alongside us. We were crucified with him on that cross. We were resurrected with him from the dead, and our soul came alive. And we had a new creation, a new man who came to live inside us, the living Son of God. Now I can give him pleasure or grief. God knows I've given him enough grief. I don't want to give him any more. But I know that no matter what happens in my life, he loves me. And I know that when I try to do what he wants, I'm the one that benefits from it. He gets pleasure. You ever hear that saying, for the man who has everything? God does have everything. He does have everything. Except one thing. Pleasure from his children. And he leaves that strictly up to you. Because it has to be a gift of love. And it has to be voluntary. Or it's of no value to God. Have quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. And hath raised us up together. And made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. This was John's prayer. Or Jesus' prayer that John recorded. You sat together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Hey, he's not going to throw you out. Father's not going to throw you out. But you've got an opportunity now to give pleasure to the Lord. John 17, 20 through 21. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which believe on me through their word. That's you and me. That they all may be one, even as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, and they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Well, the physical union of a believer outside wedlock is an act of fornication. It's like joining Christ with the act itself. We can't ever commit a sin that would separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. But if we'll do this, if we'll try to give pleasure to God because we are his children, he'll bless this church more than you could ever possibly imagine. He'll use us more than we could ever possibly dream, because it will be Christ that will be in us. And when the people see that we're different, they'll realize that we have someone that they don't have. As the pianist comes forward, as the song leader comes forward, I've shown you God's word. The rest is a personal matter between you and his Holy Spirit. You want to be quickened this morning? You want to be made alive? You want Jesus to live inside you? Then acknowledge what Paul said you must acknowledge. Paul said, testifying both to the Jew and to the Greek, repentance toward God
and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. What it means is, you've never known him. You've been walking along a path, you may have been trying to know him. And repentance is metanoia. It means to turn. And all of a sudden you come up against a brick wall. And you want to do what God wants. And you want Christ in your life. And you want to be God's child. But you've run into so many obstacles and so much confusion, you don't know what to do. Here's what you do. Repentance toward God. You turn toward God. And you don't start making God any promises. You just turn to him. Repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. You put your faith in Jesus and what he did for you, and you understand that he's alive in heaven, resurrected from the dead. And when you ask him to save you, he saves you the only way God ever will, by taking your prayer and saving your soul by his power alone. I hope this morning, if God's been dealing with you, I hope you'll come.